On Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 61, I'm going to introduce you to a knight in shining armor, a luthier from across the pond, and I'm going to share with you the three real reasons why you'll use a capo. All that and more right after this.
If you believe that playing acoustic guitar is about sharing the joy of music with friends and family, not just mastering the technical side of playing, then this show is your dream come true. Every Tuesday morning, I give you my list of exciting guitar geek discoveries, gear, and new music so you can stay inspired to live your best acoustic life. I'm Tony Policastro, and this is the Acoustic Tuesday Show. Guitar geeks, unite.
Welcome to Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 61. This is the show where you're going to learn about acoustic guitar gear, discover acoustic artists, and get inspired to live your very best acoustic life. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, I'm going to share with you my guitar geek list for the week, and I can assure you this week, this list is pretty special. I mean, we're churching things up around here, we got Halloween right around the corner, but this guitar geek list is something you do not want to miss. As with all episodes of Acoustic Tuesday, here helping me, making sure you all see the right things, turning the right knobs, pressing the right buttons, and doing all other sorts of technological things is, of course, Sir Noah Jacob Heckman Jr. the First. Noah, cheers to you.
You're already laughing.
I know, I was trying to like drag out your name and
even longer.
I couldn't come up with anything. I was thinking like race car driver. I was going to throw in super dad, Mr. Fix-It. I wasn't sure what I was going to do.
Thank you.
But, you know, I was trying to really build you up.
No, thank you. Thank you very much. Good morning to you.
Did it work?
Yes. Yes, I'm pumped. I'm positive. I'm ready to dive into the guitar geekiness.
Well, I'm excited too, Noah, for two reasons. As I mentioned, today's list is pretty stellar. I mean, it is a bombastic list. Let me just tell you that. You didn't think I was ever going to use that word, did you? But we're gearing up for Halloween. Our Halloween episode is right around the corner, and I figured I should start introducing Halloween items. So just a quick tour of what's on the desk.
Yeah.
I've got the crow skeleton hanging out over here, watching everything happen on the surface of the desk.
Mm-hmm.
I've got this cool little zombie guy who's eating brains currently, and if you press his belly, he's kind of full, but he makes interesting noises. Next to him, we've got my tribute to The Shining, one of my favorite movies of all time. Of course, creepy clown man.
Gotta have the creepy clown.
Your classic human skull and a severed arm, which was fun to hold through the parking lot as the kids went to school in the building next door, and I was carrying a severed arm and skull in a plastic bag. Pretty awesome.
This was a surprise to me as well.
Yeah.
I just get a random text from you that, hey, got our Halloween stuff. Okay.
So. Well, we'll wait to really get into Halloween for episode 62, but this is just a little sign of things to come. I want to dive right into a lesson I want to actually share with you right now. I've been kind of really digging these lessons that we've been doing the last couple episodes, and I thought, you know, I'm going to start teaching a little bit more. And this lesson I want to share with you right now focuses around the fretboard, specifically using the capo. Now, I think so often the capo gets a really bad rap because it's considered, oh, you're cheating if you use a capo. Oh, you clearly don't know the fretboard if you use a capo. The capo is a one-trick pony. You clearly only know a couple chord shapes. That's just so not true. And I want to shed a little bit of light on the capo, specifically why you would use a capo, and three situations where you would use a capo. Now, the first situation where you'd use a capo is probably the most commonly used situation, or the most common use for the capo, and that is to change keys quickly. So if you're playing a song, I'm gonna play it in the key of C here. It's called New River Train. It's a great tune. So, ride down the New River Train. Ride down the New River Train. Same old train that brought me here's gone, carry me away again. Let's say you're playing and you say, you know what, that is just too low for me. I can't really dig into that song. Well, that's where the capo comes in, because you can just slap it on any old fret, start moving it up the neck until you find a place that's comfortable. And one quick tip on how to do that is to actually play the song's chorus when you're trying out different capo positions. Generally speaking, the chorus is melodically and as far as the note content goes in a song, usually is the highest point in terms of notes or the highest point in the range. So that's just a good little test when you're trying to figure out where to place the capo. But just by placing it here on the fourth fret, I've effectively changed the key of the song, but I don't have to learn anything new. It's the same chord shapes. Riding on that new river train. Riding on that new river train. Same old train that brought me here's gonna carry me away again. So right there, you don't have to do anything new. Same chord shapes, you've just raised the key with the use of a capo. It's an awesome usage of the capo. The next use of a capo is, let's say you're playing a song and it calls for an A flat to a D flat. Okay, great. That's bar chord land right there. We're entering bar chord land. So we've got our A flat into a D flat. And it's just back and forth, A flat to D flat. That's all fine and well, but your hand's gonna get tired. Those bar chord shapes are kind of, they can sound clunky on an acoustic guitar. So if you go ahead and take your capo and plunk it right where your bar chord finger was, your index finger in this case, you can then play the open versions of those shapes. You're still playing an A flat, you're still playing a D flat, but you're able to use open shapes. So a capo can actually help you replace bar chords if the song that you're playing is rather bar chord heavy. Now I can still go back and forth between an A flat and a D flat, just use my open chord shapes. It's another awesome use for a capo. And the final use for a capo, one that I really think is kind of the ninja use for the capo, is that the capo can give you access to certain chord shapes that facilitate a certain sound or facilitate a certain genre of music. For example, if I'm playing a song in the key of A, and it goes A, D, E, I can use the open A shape and play it out of this position, but let's say it's a bluegrass song. This particular position doesn't necessarily lend itself to, you know, a big bass run and things like that. So what I'll do is I'll slap the capo on the second fret, and now I can use G chord shapes, a G, C, and a D, to achieve the same chords that I was playing in the key of A. Check this out. If I play a G chord shape with a capo on the second fret, that's an A chord. This C chord shape is a D chord because of the capo, and this D chord shape is an E chord because of the capo. So it's a difference between what the shape of the chord is and what the actual chord is. And now, as I'm playing the song, I can throw in bluegrass licks. All because of the capo. So the three reasons you're gonna wanna use a capo, the three situations where you would use a capo is to, number one, change keys easily. You saw that with the song that I was singing. Number two, it can replace bar chords. And number three, it can give you access to certain chord shapes that help to facilitate a certain style of play, as I used in the example where I was using those open A chord shapes, but those don't really work well, at least under my fingers, for bluegrass. So I slap that capo on the second fret and boom, I achieve the same key, but I use different chord shapes. Now, if you're sitting there thinking like, whoa, that's a lot, I just use the capo to change keys easily, that's fine. I just wanted to give you a little bit more insight into the capo's uses and how you can actually use the capo to help unlock the fretboard. And since we're talking about the fretboard, and since October is kind of Fretboard Wizard Month, and that's a course that I put on that is an incredible course for literally unlocking the fretboard. We start with the musical alphabet, we build major scales, we talk about the chord matrix, we talk about the anatomy of a chord, and then we talk about the cage system. And the capo ties in together with the cage system. They're like puzzle pieces that fit into one another. So if you want to be hip to the Fretboard Wizard course, I want you to go to fretwiz.com and make sure to sign up for that wait list. Those five topics I talked about just now, there's a free video series lead up that I don't want you to miss. If anything that I talked about with the capo was interesting to you and anything you thought, wow, I'd like to know more about that, please go to fretwiz.com, sign up for that wait list, and you'll be so pleased when you go through that video lead up series. And then once you go through that series, you got nice momentum built, then you can check out the full Fretboard Wizard course, which is something that has helped at this point over 1500 players. So it's a pretty exciting month here, not only because of Halloween, but because it is indeed Fretboard Wizard month. So hopefully those capo tips helped you out. And again, if you want more on that, go to fretwiz.com and don't forget to sign up for the Fretboard Wizard waitlist. Noah, how you doing over there? You doing okay?
Fantastic.
You doing good?
Yeah, I was okay. I was on for the ride on your cable.
I thought you might have been bobbing your head when I was singing.
I was definitely doing that.
Yeah, yeah, those first couple notes, I got to find the key, you know.
I was scrutinizing every note.
Are we going to have a little debriefing session afterwards where you give me all my notes on my vocal performance?
You should have played those for me before
we
started filming the show.
Thanks. I really appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Well, don't worry. I didn't forget. We do have to take care of a very specific piece of Acoustic Tuesday business, and that, of course, is Guitar Geek Trivia. I didn't forget. We're going to do your Guitar Geek Trivia question right now. So here is your Guitar Geek Trivia question for the day. Now, this is a first in Acoustic Tuesday history because this is a picture trivia question. So here's your question. What model guitar is shown in the picture on your screen right now? Is it A, a D28? B, an HD28, C, a D35, or D, an HD35. Go ahead and ponder that, take a good look, and at the end of the show, I'll be sure to give you the answer. Now, I want to move right along because I've got a lot to pack in today. I've got a lot of extra videos and stuff that I want to show all of you, so I want to dive right into what I'm listening to this week. And this week, I just want to thank, when I first started teaching guitar, when I first moved to Montana, this was right around 2009, 2010, I used to actually drive to people's houses because I really wanted to teach, and for a lot of people, that was super convenient. I found out later that I was spending a lot of money on gas. That's a whole nother story. But anyways, this particular artist that I'm going to share with you right now comes courtesy of one of the parents of my students that I was teaching at the time. They said, hey, you got to check out this guy. He's an awesome songwriter. I think you'd really dig him. And they were indeed right. And who I want to introduce you to is Chris Knight. Chris Knight hails from, check this out, this is very Halloweenish, Slaughters, Kentucky. Yes, Noah, you heard that right. Chris Knight comes from Slaughters, Kentucky, which is a place that I'd like to visit at some point just because of the name. Anyways, that's besides the point. Chris Knight is really, he's one of those songwriters that is able to paint such a vivid picture with these beautifully chosen words. His songs tell a story, and it doesn't seem difficult for him. I mean, when you listen to his music, and he has a whole slew of songs out there, it's like these amazing stories he's telling, album after album, song after song. It's like they just pour out of the guy. I mean, he's really, and his voice is awesome as well. His voice is, I don't want to call it country. I want to call it gritty. I want to call it raw. And it just fits the songs so well, especially the stories that he likes to tell. And one of the stories that I really enjoy, one of the songs that I really enjoy from him, is one called Rita's Only Fault, which we're actually going to have a listen to right now.
She handled herself well, been handled by two guards. And she still looked like a prom queen in the back of the sheriff's car. And a crowd lined up from the courthouse to the jailhouse down the street. How could they talk so bad about a girl who was so sweet?
All right, so that was Chris Knight's tune, Rita's Only Fault. Now, very quickly, that's off of an album that I totally love. I'll get to that here in a second. But Chris has a whole slew of albums available. And you can, I'm going to go through, I believe, some of my highlights here and the year that they were
next
released.
Next up, an album
and I'm going to leave my
pretty good guy that
one
came out
to last. So we'll get there. But first up, we've got his self-titled album, Release 1. Mankato West Scarlets. Woo! Anyways, next up, released in 2006, an album called Enough Rope. And then Little Victories came out 6 years later in 2012. Now, my favorite album of all time was actually officially released in 2007, but the content of the album came from a much earlier time. This album is called The Trailer Tapes, and these were actual demos prior to releasing his first self-titled album. So again, that I believe from what I read, it was released in 2007 officially. But that particular album, if you were to check out all the albums and think, where do I start? Start with The Trailer Tapes, because I think it shows, at least in my opinion, it shows how talented of a songwriter Chris Knight is, because this was his first crack at recording stuff. And some of the songs on there were, they are amazing. Hard Edges is a great song. Rita's Only Fault, of course, is a great song as well. And that whole thing is just full of awesome tunes. So make sure to check that out. Again, that's Chris Knight. And of course, if you want to learn more about Chris Knight or anything I ever talk about on Acoustic Tuesday, just go to acousticlife.tv. Specifically today, for Chris Knight information, go to acousticlife.tv/AT61. You'll be able to check out more info. There's links to Chris's site and all that good stuff. Now, I want to move along. Noah, I think it's time to celebrate small wins, and I'm really excited to get to this portion because you seem like you're ready to go, and I have a special small win that I want to share.
I am always ready to go for small wins. You don't even have to ask me. It's just like, Noah, do small wins. And
can we try that again then?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, Noah, do small wins.
Let's do it. All right, small wins for Acoustic Tuesday, episode number 61. Pulled, of course, from the small wins shared by Acoustic Tuesday viewers from previous episodes. And the first one comes from the Caped Crusader. So
Superman?
No.
Was that Batman?
Batman.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, apparently Batman watches Acoustic Tuesday. Not surprised.
So you think Alfred cues it up for him on the TV? No, sorry.
He watches it while he's in the Batmobile.
Robin's got to get so pissed. He's like, turn off Acoustic Tuesday. We got crime to fight.
So Batman's small win is, here he goes. My name is Gavin. Thought it was going to be Bruce for sure. My name is Gavin, and I'm from Ohio, and my five-year-old niece told me that I was good at guitar. And I just bought a Sigma DM3.
Nice. That's awesome. Heck yeah.
Gavin. Uh-huh. Gavin. Next small win comes from Blake W. Says, at Goodwill, in two visits, I was able to get an Allman Brothers album and Robert Johnson Complete Recordings CDs, both for $2.
Whoa!
Gotta love Goodwill.
That's awesome. Good finds. Good finds.
And our last small win for today, Tony, comes from Dan M., who says, was in a bad guitar rut, and I emailed Noah. He got me back on track. And one of the tips that really took hold was Tony saying that all the time you put in practice will add up and let you make more progress than you may at first realize.
Oh, sweet, man.
So there you go.
Oh, good for you. Sometimes it's just hanging in there and just weathering the storm. Good for you. Good for you. And thanks for everybody sharing your small wins. Noah, thank you for reading them. Mm-hmm. And of course, if you want a small win shared here on Acoustic Tuesday, it's easy to do in the comments below. Just put #smallwin and then go ahead and describe your small wins. We take small wins from everybody, obviously, including Batman. So please, please put your small wins down there. Before I share this small win, I got to take the top off of this coffee mug.
Bothering you?
Well, my nose keeps running into it and it's really bumming me out. I like to smell the coffee as it comes in.
Yeah, that's exactly why I personally don't prefer the travel mug.
Yeah, I mean, I like it because when I hit the bumps on the way in, it keeps the coffee from all over my car, but man, nothing beats that smell. Okay, the small one I'm excited about.
Yes.
Okay, so I was just putzing around on Facebook the other day and I'm scrolling through and I see this picture of a bunch of guitar geeks. And I thought, man, that's cool. Guitar geeks, you know? And then I find out it's a Guitars for Vets chapter that just went through graduation. So I want to congratulate the Guitars for Vets chapter from Nebraska for recently graduating the program. And Noah, you got the picture up? Awesome, awesome. I was just so pleased to see that. And I just love seeing everybody holding their guitars just so pumped because it's an achievement, man. So congratulations to the Nebraska chapter of Guitars for Vets, and also a huge thanks to the coordinators and teachers all involved in that area. You guys are doing awesome work, and cheers to the students and the guitar geeks that just graduated. Cheers to you guys, and keep up the good work. Keep learning and keep sharing the guitar geek gospel, as it were. All right. I want to share with you guys about rather, I want to share with you guys about a store. No, that's not what I should say. I want to share a store with you all, is what I wanted to say. This is a store that I'm familiar with from the sales end of things. When I first moved out to Montana, I worked for Weber Mandolins, and I had, you know, different stores I would call across the country, and this was one of the stores. I used to speak to Joe Caruso on the phone, always super knowledgeable, always super nice, and of course, he is a proprietor at the store, the Music Emporium. I almost said the Guitar Geek Emporium. The Music Emporium in Lexington, Massachusetts. A beautiful store that stocks, I'm talking, an amazing amount of wonderful acoustic instruments. I mean, you can go to their website, and often I do. Literally, you'll just type in the Music Emporium on your Google search, check it out, and just scroll at all the new arrivals and just watch the time tick away. You're going to come up for air and be like, oh, the sun's gone. How about that? They have beautiful instruments, new, used, you name it. It's all there. And the store has this wonderful reputation. I mean, it was even featured in a Fretboard Journal not too long ago. I want to say, since that's a quarterly magazine, maybe a year and a half ago or something like that, but it's just it's a store with great history, great people, and even the luthiers that are building guitars right now recognize it. In fact, I found this, I guess it's a little bit older video, featuring Dana Bourgeois, Bill Collings when he was with us, and TJ Thompson just sharing their thoughts on the Music Emporium. So let's actually have a look at that right now.
Right from the beginning, the Music Emporium has always been sort of like the center where, you know, music and players and instruments kind of came together.
It's a special place. It really is a special place. High-end selection, great environment, unpretentious, awesome.
What sets the Music Emporium apart from other stores is the staff, unsurpassed.
We want to have conversations about what makes you tick musically. What can we put in your hands that's going to keep you fired up about playing guitar?
Now, that's just a small part of a much larger video that goes into the shop history, different characters of the shop, etc. To watch that full video, please go to acousticlife.tv/AT61. You'll see the full write-up on the Music Emporium, as well as some additional videos. Now, no store review would be complete if I didn't feature some playing and some of the cool instruments that they have. Now, I showed you some of the new instruments that they have, but they also have a beautiful selection of vintage instruments. And I found this cool guitar, 1932 OM28. And guess who was playing it? Molly Tuttle. Now, anytime I can feature Molly Tuttle on the show, I do, because I think Molly Tuttle's a fantastic player. We've featured her on an artist segment. She played guitars for Carter's Vintage Guitars. She played guitars for Griffin Strings. She's been on the show quite a bit. We're a big Molly Tuttle. Noah and I are big Molly Tuttle fans. So, you know what? What better way to just keep the video appearance ticker ticking than to feature another Molly Tuttle demo? Can we do that?
Yeah. Episode one.
I was getting all flustered talking about her. Just go to the video.
AT1, as a matter of fact.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. She played that... She played another, like a vintage 0045 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, shall I go to the demo?
Yeah, I'm getting flustered talking about her.
Thank you.
otherworldly sounding guitar played by an outstanding player. But just zooming out a little bit, the Music Emporium has so many video demos. You got to check out their YouTube channel. Their video demos are always shot so well. They always sound so beautiful. And I think those guys are just doing an awesome job. So three cheers to the Music Emporium out in Lexington, Massachusetts. Again, if you want to find out more about the Music Emporium, just go to acousticlife.tv/AT61. There's a bunch of links and cool little extras you can find there at acousticlife.tv. All right, moving on. Noah and I want to know what you think of the show so far. So please, in the comments below, let us know where you're tuning in from. Let us know what you think about the show. Let us know what you're up to in the guitar world. Just leave a comment below. We'd love to know who's out there watching and how many guitar geeks are uniting on this wonderful day that we call Acoustic Tuesday. And of course, while you're at it, please subscribe to this YouTube channel. Click that red subscribe button and don't forget to hit that little gray bell. That'll give you a notification each and every time a new video goes live. And of course, if you want Acoustic Tuesday, let me just rephrase that. If you never want to miss an episode of Acoustic Tuesday, you must get it delivered to your email. And there's a link in the description so you can go ahead and do that. That's what most folks do because, well, Acoustic Tuesday, it's a weekly tradition. And we want y'all to never miss an episode. Y'all. I don't know where that came from.
It's okay. Good to throw something new out there once in a while.
Yeah. Well, we want to thank y'all for being here. And Noah, I know you want to thank y'all of them as well.
Yeah.
Because you've got some shout-outs you want to give and some comments.
My mother will appreciate that.
Oh, good.
yes, shout-outs and comments. All right. So first shout-out goes to Max H., who says, "It's Tuesday here in East Texas, and my two good friends, Tony and Noah, have stopped by for lunch. As always, acoustic guitars is the main topic, and I always learn something, and most times, a bunch of things."
All right.
Yeah, I was reading that when you said y'all.
Oh, you did?
So it was like kind of driving in my head.
I think the stars align every Tuesday for us in some fashion.
It's a thing.
Good, bad, or otherwise.
Next shout out goes to Mickey U. It says, "Hello, as always, from Cartersville, Georgia." See, there you go again.
See?
"Love the show, and I really love watching the show every Tuesday while I'm at work." Yeah. We could do a tally, like how many people catch the show while they're at work.
We'd have to make sure employers can't watch, because we'd be out in a lot of people.
Yeah, it's okay. You know what? You do you, right? Just. And really, if your boss did see you watching it, I mean, really, they'd probably just become a fan anyway.
True.
And watch with you. Maybe you could do that together.
There you go. You could have a meeting.
Yes, a meeting.
Every Tuesday.
And our last shout out goes to our longtime Acoustic Tuesday viewer from Norway, Trollst Jerne.
All right.
And I say, we could call him our friend, and I still don't know if I pronounced his moniker correctly. So you have to let me know.
Sounded good. Confident.
But, thank you. Yeah. But he says, "Finally, it's Tuesday and another episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Cheers from Norway."
All right. Thanks for watching. Appreciate that.
There's our comments and shout outs for today, Tony.
Well, thank you, Noah. And of course, as I mentioned, please leave a comment below. Let us know you're watching. Let us know where you're tuning in from. We love hearing from you all. And we love that we can all come together on this Tuesday that we've now turned into a weekly tradition called Acoustic Tuesday. And please don't forget to share this show with your guitar geek friends. You can share it on Facebook. Grab a link from acousticlife.tv, slap it in your Facebook post, and say, "Hey, guitar geek friends, you got to check out this show." Send an email to your guitar geek friends. Talk about it at work. Talk about it to your boss. If your boss plays, just don't say that you watch it on his time or her time. You get the idea. Please share this with your guitar geek friends. And speaking of guitar geek friends, there's two guitar geek friends that I want to feature here on Acoustic Tuesday because they shared their guitar signals with us, which is always a highlight because I love seeing what people have in their guitar signals. And more importantly, I love hearing the stories that go with the guitar signals. So first up, we've got a guitar signal from Sean G. and his daughter. They are from Concord, California. And this one has quite the backstory, and I got to share it because I love it. It's very guitar geeky. It's very fam jammy. I just love it. So here we go. This is what Sean G says. He says, "I just want to begin with, I love all you are doing, and I'm a religious follower of AT since about episode 37, but I've been binge watching backwards and I'm now at episode 19. Fun to see so many great artists and just good-hearted laughs. I also love what you're doing with Guitars for Vets, so I'd love to donate $100. Do you have a Venmo account or a way to give online? Or should I just send a check in the mail? Well, Sean, I'm glad you asked, because you can go to acousticlife.tv/vets, and right there are links to all the different ways you can help the Guitars for Vets organization. Again, for those of you wondering how to donate or what to do, how you can help, go to acousticlife.tv/vets, and you'll be able to find a link to donate there. And Sean continues. He says, so back to the Guitar Arsenal, where our music story begins. So I was a music major back in community college and actually got into UCLA in their ethnomusicology program playing Latin drums. I grew up playing the piano, but always wanted to learn the guitar, partially because it's really hard to take a piano camping. So after getting into music school, I started to realize I had a massive passion for music, but wow, did I feel like I didn't have the talent, and I think that is called a hobby, not a career. So I changed my major to anthropology and later became a software programmer. I know, obvious. Fast forward 25 years later and 5 children, my daughter, who had been in choir for 4 years, asked me for a guitar, and I thought, this is my chance to get a guitar in the house and we could both learn how to play. So I bought her / our first guitar ever at the age of 47, and my daughter was 15. Well, it sat around for a good 6 months where we both noodled on it, but I started to notice she was really starting to pick it up. And so I started to get a bit competitive with her. So one day I realized we were both trying to play the same guitar all the time, so I started looking for a second guitar so I could have one of my own. So I bought the Fender. In the meantime, my daughter had also picked up a soprano ukulele and seemed to learn how to play it overnight. I love this guitar geek logic. Well, I'll just get another guitar. I mean, that's awesome. It's just guitar geeks in training. I love it. And he goes on. Then there was the high school talent show where she came in second with a song she had written herself. And then my wife came to find out she had an entire Instagram page with followers of all the songs she had written playing guitar and ukulele. Needless to say, I went out and took her ukulele shopping the next weekend to buy her a high-end instrument. I got into the fretboard wizard, which was awesome to take all the theory I'd learned in school that was focused around the piano and transpose it to the guitar. What a game changer. So a couple of months ago, I bit the bullet and purchased a Taylor 214E Sunburst Deluxe that has just been amazing, and I also signed up for tech. So this is my daughter and our two dogs, Willie and Fergus, and our guitars and ukuleles. And he goes into detail. The back row, we've got a Fender CD60 SCE Natural, that's named Patricia. And next up, an Ibanez AW54CE Mahogany, that's named Reese. A Taylor 214E Sunburst Deluxe named Grace. And in the front row, what they're holding, an Amahi T100 tenor ukulele named Margaret. A Makani Mukmaho S1 named Shelby, and then of course the dogs, Willie the black labradoodle and Fergus the brown labradoodle. Pretty awesome. I want to thank Sean and his daughter for sharing your story and your guitar arsenal. Next up, we've got John C. from Merseyside, UK. Now, I got to just take a second, Noah.
Okay.
Because we've had some cool locations in today's episode so far. Slaughters, Kentucky and Merseyside, UK. This is like, we're really building up to the Halloween episode. I just wanted to mention that.
Okay, why the, I'm just curious, why the Mercy
sound? Merseyside sounds like a setting for like another Friday the 13th.
Yeah, I hear
you. You know, like you have Camp Crystal Lake, and then a couple towns over is Camp Merseyside.
Yeah, I gotcha.
And that's where like, you know, some other horror slasher guy named like Teddy comes in. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Chases the kids around, pushes them in a lake or whatever.
I know.
All right. Next up, John C. from Merseyside, UK, not of horror film fame. From the top right, here we go. A 2008 Steven Strom 00 acoustic guitar with Amazon rosewood back and sides and German spruce top. That is currently on evaluation, and it may very well be staying in his guitar arsenal. Next, a 2008 Stefan Sobel. Sobel New World in Brazilian rosewood and European spruce. That could be on the chopping block. We're not sure yet. A 2002 Stefan Sobel Model 1 Brazilian rosewood and spruce top. On the couch, a Pat Foster 2013 spruce and Indian rosewood 00L model. On John's knee is a custom Brook OM made in 2018 with Brazilian rosewood and Lutz spruce top, and he says that one's got a lot of bling on it. 2016 Brook Taw in cherry and Sitka spruce with cutaway, and another Pat Foster 2013 Mahogany Opus with Sitka spruce top. Now, on to the little custom corner. Three custom Martin guitars. First up is a Jeff Tweedy 00, obviously all mahogany, built in 2012. Next, a 2016 Music Villa Martin 00028 in Sitka. Sitka spruce top and Indian rosewood back and sides. And a custom 2016 Martin 00028 with a cedar top and mahogany back and sides. I want to thank both Sean and John for sharing your guitar arsenals with us. And of course, if you're sitting there thinking, I got some guitars I want to share. I want to share my story. I want to share my guitars. I got to get on that Acoustic Tuesday show. It's super easy. First, you got to grab yourself a Guitarsonal shirt. There's a link right beneath the YouTube episode. Go ahead and order yourself up one. Next, put that shirt on and take a picture amongst your guitars. And third, and most importantly, go to acousticlife.tv. In the top menu, you'll see a submit link. Go ahead and click that submit button. You'll be able to submit your picture. And of course, you'll be featured in a future episode of Acoustic Tuesday. Now, on to my final... I almost said my final moment.
Well, it is in the Halloween theme.
I know. This is, yeah. So did I tell? So we've been trying to, Whitney and I have been trying to watch a horror movie every single night in October. Mm-hmm. And so far, so good. I've seen a lot of dandies. Mm-hmm. We went House of a Thousand Corpses, The Devil's Rejects. We started the New American Horror Story series. It's really cool. So I'm really digging that. Anyways, that's totally not related to this topic, It is related to Halloween.
Yes, so and your cheers. Final moment, whenever that may be.
Boo, hopefully, trick or treat.
Far away.
Yeah. What I wanted to say was my final item, okay? And I want to feature a guitar maker from across the pond, one that I became familiar with when I was living in Chicago, working at the Old Town School of Folk Music. This rep came in, who actually ended up knowing my dad, a fellow by the name of Todd. He came in and said, hey, you got to check out these Stonebridge guitars. And I'm thinking, okay, well, I've never heard of them, but I'm a total guitar geek. I'm obsessed. I got to check out these guitars. And I was very, very impressed with these guitars, both their price point and the quality. So I had to ask, like, what's the deal with these guitars? Well, apparently these guitars were founded, Stonebridge guitars, let me back up. Furch Guitars made Stonebridge guitars, and that company, Furch Guitars, was founded in 1981 by František Furch in the Czech Republic. Really cool. At the time, they were doing a lot of matte finish stuff, all solid woods, kind of more of a modern fingerstyle instrument, but just beautiful instruments. So we ordered a couple at the store, sold through them, and then I moved away to Montana, and I kind of fell off the radar with Stonebridge Guitars. And then I started doing more research, and I found out that Stonebridge Guitars, that name kind of started to fade away, and then in comes Furch Guitars. And all these questions started coming up, like, are these two different guitars? What is the deal with Furch and Stonebridge? So as a guitar geek, I started to do some research, and then I found that Brendan from Heartbreaker Guitars in Las Vegas actually did a video on this very topic. So to finally put the question to rest, let's figure out the difference between Stonebridge and Furch Guitars.
Hey guys, what's up? It's Brendan at Heartbreaker Guitars, and today we're in the Heartbreaker showroom, and we are looking at Furch and Stonebridge guitars today. We get emails all the time asking what's the difference between Stonebridge and Furch, and the simple answer is there is no difference. They're built by the same luthiers in the Czech Republic at the same plant, and it's just the difference in the logo is really all it is. And the explanation behind that is when Furch first came to North America, they wanted to brand the guitars differently. So they came up with the Stonebridge name and logo. And again, essentially the exact same guitar though. But more and more over the next like 3-4 years, you're gonna see the Stonebridge label and logo minimized, and they're gonna be featuring more prominently the Furch guitar logo. The Stonebridge isn't going away. They're gonna keep it around for nostalgia's sake, but primarily you're gonna see Furch logoed guitars. Again, nobody's changing anything else. The plant's the same, the luthiers are the same, everything's the same. So. Anyway, I hope that answers that email for you guys.
All right, I want to thank Brendan and the folks at Heartbreaker Guitars for letting us use their video. I know that Brendan just he runs a top-notch shop in Las Vegas, and he comes across a ton of different guitar brands. So to see that he was shedding light on that topic was a great moment when I found that. So that's the difference between Furch and Stonebridge Guitars. So I will continue to refer to them as Furch Guitars now. I used to call them Furk Guitars, and that might work too. It feels good, Furk. Furch? I don't know. Either way. So anyways, Furch guitars. Upon further review, now I haven't played any of the new Furches yet, but as I mentioned, I do have some experience with the Stonebridge guitars made by, of course, the same folks. Now, it looks to me like the Furch guitars, they just kind of went this whole new overhaul, if you will, in terms of models and appointments and things like that. And it seems to me that they're taking their models from the visible spectrum of light. Think Roy G. Biv. They've got the red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet models or series. And I thought, you know, we should listen to one. Let's go to the top of the heap. So what I found was a red plus model on a demo that I think Furch Guitars actually put out. So let's have a listen to the red plus Furch right now. Wonderful guitar. One of the things I noticed listening to that particular demo under headphones is the complexity of tone. Something that it seemed like the player wasn't actually digging in that hard, and they were able to pull just a ton of tone, a ton of volume, and the overtones, the richness of overtones. I like the appointments too, the cool wood inlay on the fretboard. And just in looking at their website, it seems like they've really upped their game in terms of appointments and things like that. So make sure to check out Furch Guitars. It's a luthier that I think you should know, a guitar company that I think you should know, because I don't necessarily feel like a lot of attention gets pointed at them. But I mean, they've got players, Adrian Ballou, great modern fingerstyle player, a past Acoustic Tuesday artist. Callum Graham also plays a Furch guitar. So I mean, they keep really good company, and they've got some pretty discerning artists playing their instruments. So definitely worth a shot if you come across them in a shop. Definitely play them so you can say, hey man, I played a Furch, I played another guitar maker. It's always a good feeling as a guitar geek to add a new guitar maker to the list that you've played. So check out Furch Guitars. All right, that pretty much puts Acoustic Tuesday 61 in the coffin. See what I did there? No,
yeah,
I see what I did?
Pretty good. That was good.
But we do have to revisit your Acoustic Tuesday guitar geek trivia. So here's just a quick recap of your guitar geek trivia question. What model guitar is shown in the picture on your screen? Is it a D28, an HD28, a D35, or an HD35? And if you answered D, an HD35, you're absolutely correct. Now this, let me just say this, quick backstory on this trivia question. This was asked to me by my former boss at Old Town School. We were looking at the guitar wall. Ted, he owns a music store in Viroqua, Wisconsin right now. He says, Tony, tell me which one the HD35 is. And I'm like looking, how do you know? He's like, that one, go look. And I was like, I think there was some betting involved, maybe a beer or something. And lo and behold, he was correct. And I was like, how'd you pick that out? Well, let me go on and share with you the rest of the answer. So it was indeed an HD35. And I said, this is a tough one, but there are two giveaways that make this an HD35, and they both have to do with aesthetics. Yes, there are differences in terms of bracing, but the giveaways are the herringbone purfling along the top and the binding on the fretboard. Okay, it's one of Martin's only models that's bound on the fretboard. I believe the M36 is as well, but the HD35, the D35 is actually bound on the fretboard. The HD35 has the binding on the fretboard and the herringbone purfling. Now, the other thing that indicates this is an HD35 that you can't see is the fact that the bracing is quarter inch and it's scalloped, which makes it Martin's most lightly braced top. Pretty cool trivia, and I don't know, it's pretty cool to point at a guitar that seemingly looks like all the others and say, yep, that's a such and such a model. Boom, that's a such and such a model. I just think it's neat. Noah, you don't seem amused.
No, I'm amused. I'm smiling. I agree.
Okay. Well, Noah, we've lit the candelabra.
Mm.
We've played the organ.
Okay.
We've placed the last nail in the coffin on episode 61.
Anything else?
We have summoned the monsters to do the monster mash around the coffin. Let's take a sneak peek into next week. Next week on Acoustic Tuesday, we're going to avoid some huge, I'm talking enormous, music theory mistakes. We're going to paint the town orange in honor of Halloween, and we're going to look at a frighteningly awesome dreadnought. And of course, there'll be some spooks and scares thrown in there as well, because it will be our Halloween episode. Can't wait to see you next Tuesday on Acoustic Tuesday. Again, you can catch Acoustic Tuesday every Tuesday at 10 a.m. Mountain Time on YouTube. And of course, for your Acoustic Tuesday fix in between Tuesdays, please go to acousticlife.tv. You can catch all the past episodes, all the extra details, all the treats, all the tricks, all the spooks, all the scares, all the booze, all the has. Anyways, thanks for sharing your time with us today. We really appreciate it. Have an awesome week, and we'll see you next week on Acoustic Tuesday. Cheers to you, and a happy Halloween.